Hey everyone, how's it going? It's Nick Baldwin. Welcome back to the post-Christmas episode of Command Your Social. I'm Nick Baldwin. I have my amazing co-host, Jesse Newquist, here with me. Jesse, what is going on? Nice to see you.
Hi. It's so good to see you too. It's so good to be here. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
So how are you? How was your Christmas? Was it fun?
It was awesome. It was quiet and it was 80 degrees here in Texas and it was amazing. So thank you.
Okay, sure. Rub it in. It's snowing in Michigan.
I miss it.
No longer friends. So today we have an awesome guest. We actually have Facebook. Like if Facebook was a person, it would be this guy. You know, we have Facebook on the show with us. His name is Scott Shapiro. He's a client partner at Facebook. He works very in-depth with real estate companies, real estate agents. He's one of the guys who was behind getting KW Command up and running, working with the leaders at Keller Williams. Scott Shapiro, thanks so much for being on the show, man.
Well, and you're far too modest, Nick. What people don't know is the first person I met in the industry was Nick Baldwin at Inman. I think it was January 2016. So it's our team, just a little background for the listeners. I've been at Facebook now 9.5 years. And I was just telling Jesse and Nick, I started on our financial services team. And as we worked our way into the industry for real estate, we had to start with kind of fundamentally, what do we know and what don't we know? So we show up at Inman. It's me and a couple of others, real quiet, just trying to learn. And I walk into a room about Facebook ads and Nick Baldwin is teaching it. And at the end, he sits down and I walk up and I gave him my card and it started, you know, really a long, fruitful, fun friendship, not just a business relationship with you, Nick, but a true friendship. And so it's always one of those decisions that, you know, it's kismet or just fate or meant to be that literally I just happen to turn the right way, go into a room and I meet you and you've been a wonderful friend and guide for us.
Thank you so much. And I think my wife, Anne, loves you more than she loves me.
She's amazing. But
she, and also your first mistake was going into a room, trying to learn stuff about real estate and then listening to me. That was your first mistake.
I completely disagree. I think no one knows more about the space than the folks who are actually on the ground making it happen each and every day. I think the best learnings we've actually gotten are from folks such as yourself and other people you've introduced me to in the space, because you're out there every day. You're doing the job. You know the good, you know the bad, you know the pratfalls, you know the things to avoid, the things to do. So I think, again, you're far too modest, because I seriously have learned so much just in the course of like always being able to text or pick up a phone and just have a conversation with you. So it's awesome to be here. And of course, to be on a podcast with a fellow Texan now, it's pretty good stuff. So
yeah,
you're welcome for that. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, the first thing I just want to get into is, what the heck is Meta? Let's talk about that. Okay. Right, Jesse, was that going to be your question?
Thank you. Yeah. Number one,
what is Meta?
So basically, you know, Facebook has always been a company based upon, if you look at all the family of apps and services that we have, it's about connecting people. And the next stage of technology that I think we should all be very excited about, because we're having a front row seat in real time to it, is what we're calling the metaverse. It is a place where we are literally building a second place where you can interact with folks across the globe. A lot of it obviously is coming through the Oculus headset and the experiences that are being built on that platform. But, you know, our mission is still the same. Meta's mission is still about bringing people together. Our apps and our brands aren't changing. We're still a company that designs technology around people to bind us, to bring people closer together and do good in the world. So I think from a company perspective, as we refocus our energies on this next wave of the internet and connectivity and community, it made sense to rebrand ourselves at a top line. I mean, Facebook is still Facebook and Instagram is still Instagram and WhatsApp is still WhatsApp and Messenger is still Messenger. But they fall under a larger umbrella of how we're thinking about this coming age of the next connected piece of technology and society.
Can you give me an example of like what that's going to look like when the space is built for in our average day-to-day?
Yeah, because yes. You know what? I just got the Oculus. Santa brought my son the Oculus for Christmas.
Okay.
So I'm going to get all up in that metaverse with the headset and the whole thing.
Well, I'll give you, Jesse, it's a great question. And I'm going to give you an actual cool practical example that we as employees are working on and have an opportunity through testing, which is something called Horizon Workrooms or Workplaces. What that means is that folks on our team have been able to log in at the same time into a virtual conference room with your avatar. You're now sitting at a conference table. You have a whiteboard. It's a real three-dimensional experience to actually doing work. So several of my teammates have actually shot video. We could see what they were doing. You know, but that's a practical example of, if we think about today through the pandemic, we've been two-dimensional. Like, I can see you and Nick two-dimensionally on the screen. But what if we were in a place where we were three-dimensional and we were able to walk to a whiteboard, we were able to, you know, have normal movements? You know, those types of experiences, I think, are one practicality of how we're looking at this. I think from a content perspective, obviously, gaming is a huge piece to it, immersive gaming, which is no surprise. But I do think from a content perspective, we're also seeing a rapid change in the type of content that we can produce, i.e. 360-degree video, drone video, very immersive. So last week I had my in-laws here. They had never put on an Oculus. And I literally cast it from the Oculus to my TV to see what they were doing and set up a bunch of 360-degree videos. You know, they were able to go, you know, fly over Rio de Janeiro. They've never been to Brazil. You know, there are educational videos. So I think there's going to be a lot in the field of education of how can we connect a classroom of the world, right? If, you know, could my daughter who's 15 in her high school class be in a three-dimensional space where she's sitting literally with other students, maybe from Russia or New Zealand or Australia or India or, you know, the Sudan, right? So I think that those ways in connecting are going to be the real big piece to it, which is that, again, it's that human connectivity and the ability to actually be together, albeit in a three-dimensional form somewhere, you know, that's not two-dimensional.
I'm just so curious about this. We're all, of course, through the pandemic have been so disconnected. And so do we know that in this space that really does combat the mental deconnection that we've had for the last 2 years? Like, does it really help? Does it really, really help that? I know it's going to be an awesome experience and we're all excited for it. And does it combat that really?
I don't think we know yet. I think it's early. And so I think to empirically say yes or no, I'm not prepared to say that. I don't even think the company is prepared to say that. But I think we have a leading edge of connecting human beings in a different way is going to be important. I think as we think about the mass migration of working from home, you know, what can you do in a space together that's a little bit easier to have conversation? I'll give you a really good business case. This summer, I was substituting on another large account. My friend, she was on maternity leave. And so through the summer, I was helping out the normal day-to-day account team. And by the time we got stakeholders from the company and their three ad agencies into a Zoom, we had 90 people in. And there was just no way to connect and have a real good conversation. I couldn't see them. Like, I knew that they were looking at me in the presentation, but, you know, body cues, emotional cues, even just trying to get a question answered. So I think in a world where we're going to probably be more apt to work from home, I think there'll be that piece to it. And I do think on the educational front, back to the original example, I think it will connect. The possibilities of connecting around the world are very interesting. Those borders begin to come down. And so then, you know, if you're taking a writing class or if you're taking a cooking class, like, you can be three-dimensional in that space and have that connectivity.
Very cool.
So do you think the pandemic kind of accelerated this, or was this something that was on the road? I mean, I would imagine that Facebook has a roadmap that's like 10 years out, right? Probably more.
Yeah.
Was this on the roadmap, pandemic or not?
Oh yeah. I mean, we purchased Oculus several years ago. I think, yeah. You know, this is the second large head, piece of technology. So it's Quest 2.
That you put on your head.
Right. And then we had the Oculus Rift. We have had iterations through your cell phone. I think 3 or 4 years ago at our annual sales conference in San Francisco, we had a room where you could try on these headsets. So this has been, in advance of the pandemic. I think what the pandemic probably brought about, and again, this is just my speculating, this is the ability to kind of accelerate our development with Facebook Reality Labs to really understand how we can build experiences that bring people together. So the gaming side, remember something, it's an open platform. So if we're game developers, if we're Electronic Arts and we build a game, that you're just building a game for another platform. So, you know, you have your Xbox version, you have your PlayStation version, maybe a PC version still. And then you have a three-dimensional virtual reality Quest version. But when it comes to actually, I think, building communities and experiences, a lot of that stuff is coming from outside content providers, and content is going to be a real important piece to this, which is whether it's a gaming company, whether it's filmmakers shooting in 360 degree video with drones, which, you know, again, if anybody got a Quest or an Oculus unit over the holidays, I would say dive into some of that stuff and you'll probably get a better understanding visually than I can explain it over the podcast.
The 360 degree movie concept is very exciting. Yeah, that's super cool. And it explains it so well.
Yeah. Well, and I think like, so I did a video, I think it was produced by Abu Dhabi Tourism, but you know, there's a guide and he's walking you through and you go through Abu Dhabi, and like the Louvre has an extension in Abu Dhabi. You're walking around. I mean, and you're understanding, and you know, you're turning, you're looking up, you're looking down, you know, it's fully immersive. And so I think, again, entertainment will probably get there. You know, do I think we're going to watch the Super Bowl in the next 2 years in an Oculus and be fully immersed? You know, maybe that's a cutting edge, but the NBA is already broadcasting through Oculus Horizon in 360 degrees so that you
can really
have that experience. Yeah. So we're already seeing the bleeding edge of that. You know, for fans of The Matrix, watching the movie on HBO Max last week, I was like, you know, this is the kind of movie, talk about an immersive movie.
Yes. Yes. Number one, do The Matrix, put it on.
I want to watch Spider-Man Far From Home through the Oculus at some point.
We went the other night to the theater. You know, we went to Alamo Drafthouse, which is, you know, really awesome experience here in Austin, but we were kind of like talking about, you know, afterwards, immersive movies, MCU, you know, Star Wars, all these pieces of beloved content, Harry Potter, you know, that it goes on and on and on. You know, in 10 years time, is it standard that we're looking back to this and we're saying, do you remember the days where we had to look at the screen but we weren't in the screen? You know, we weren't able to have a sideline as Gandalf is swinging his wizard stick casting spells. You know, we weren't able to ride the broom with Harry Potter or see Hermione do the spell. So I think that's the next iteration of where content is going.
This is like I think Netflix does have an app, and it's I don't know if it's fully immersive, but it's semi-immersive.
Yeah, right, they are semi-immersive. You look like I think, you know, you sit in a theater, you have the chair and you kind of, Amazon has that as well.
It looks like, it really feels like you're in a theater.
Yes.
It really feels like the screen is, you know, 50 feet in front of you. It really does feel that way. Meanwhile, it's right on your face. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't, one of the simplest things, my kid who's 15 took me up a long elevator. I don't know. I was like 50 stories up, and then he pushed me off, and my stomach drops and my knees are weak and I wanted to throw up, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yep. You ever ride a roller coaster on one of those things?
Yes.
Oh, forget it.
It's crazy.
I want to do it every day. Yeah. It's awesome. It's how I want to wake up.
Tip I would give you guys is some of the MotoGP motorcycles that, you know, do the crazy where the men and women have their knees on the ground. Do one of those, and it's an appreciation for the way it's shot. You're just, I mean, you literally feel like you're leaning left. I mean, you're not, but you know, boy, do you feel like, okay, I got to lean left, I got to lean right. Like, you know, I'm going 200 miles an hour on a motorcycle on a race course. That it's very immersive. It's very interesting. And I think translating that actually to the industry, like if we want to put a pivot point into the conversation about what it'll do for real estate, I think is it will continue to revolutionize the consumer journey, because then what happens when something is shot in 360 degrees and I can look at all of the things in the kitchen? I'm not just getting a flat two-dimensional image of maybe what, you know, the agent or the MLS puts up, right? But like, you know, you can literally stand center, turn your head, you know, 360 degrees, get an understanding of things that I think are harder to do. I think live, Facebook Live, Instagram Live are probably the best tools right now as far as how do you show property in its full entirety. And I'm talking, you know, what does it look like to look up and show, you know, a high ceiling versus a low ceiling? You know, that chandelier versus no chandelier. How tall does the fireplace go? I think that with the Oculus will be the next big revolution in real estate, because it'll give the consumer the ability to really be immersed in like what the property is.
So Scott, you work with a lot of real estate companies and brokerages. And I mean, you can let me know if you think this is something that we'll see in the future. I mean, I envision putting on the Oculus, going to, you know, realtor.com and watching fully immersive videos. And you can already do it with Matterport, but going into the app and really just like walking around the house really fluidly, you know, is that something that you guys are actively working on?
We are. I think we're at, again, these journeys are probably at the leading edge or bleeding edge. But the answer is, of course, you know, the content, we want to be a content producer as well. You know, we want our clients to be content producers. And so the more, you know, the way that anything that I've seen in the 9.5 years I've been at Facebook works is that the consumer gets there before anyone else, and then we adapt to the consumer. So if you think about stories, that was behavior that the consumer led, which then opened us up to the idea of, well, we want to give our consumers really great experiences with marketing. So why wouldn't we open up that format to it? So I think similar, this will be something that we do, whether we do it or others produce it, it will be in that environment. I don't know if we as Facebook would go out and shoot in 360 degrees at listing presentations. We don't do that kind of content to date. I think what will happen, Nick, is that large companies, either the brokerage, you know, the Kellers, the Realogies, the Remaxes will do it, or the CoStars, the Zillows, the Realtors will offer it. Or, you know, there'll be third-party companies like we have technology companies today who offer it. And then I think the second piece that we didn't touch on is the ability to connect again with your agent. So it's not just about, well, if you think about it from an experience perspective, the agent can attend the walkthrough in virtual with you. I mean, when we moved to Austin, our realtor took us to 20 different homes. He was there. We didn't go on our own. He was there to explain the neighborhood. He was there to explain all the different things. So that also gives the agent, I think, a real interesting perspective of how to be there with the consumer. I think from a broker perspective, most people, most agents, you know, who knows in 5 or 10 years wouldn't be running around with, you know, spare sets of Oculus headsets, right? So maybe that's where the brokerage office, right, becomes an important piece to it, which we invite in, right? And then we have the headset and we're going to sit together in a room and we're going to, you know, press the button.
I think that would actually really, that would really cut down on the amount of homes that you physically show somebody.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it, with our current inventory, this sounds like a dream, right? Like I just want to go meet my people in a conference room. Here you go. Have an Oculus. Let's go see 10 houses this hour. Like that's so fast. And I love it.
Yeah. I think people maybe thought that as we go into, you know, so much of the mobile experiences, you know, we call it BOPIS, buy online, pick up in store. That was a big thing that came out of the pandemic.
You know, BOPIS.
I was sitting at a presentation once. I was like, BOPIS. And they're like, buy online, pick up in store. I'm like, okay, I'm not on the retail team. Totally get it now.
You know, Keller Williams has a lot of acronyms, but that one takes the cake.
That's a really good one.
That's an industry one too, by the way, because I was like, BOPIS, who came up with that? Because you read a presentation, you're like, okay, but now I got it. I do think we are still at a stage where homes and cars, you know, it's not like buying something that's really easy online. You know, it's not Grubhub to get your lunch delivered. It's you know, the highest considered purchased item you'll make maybe anywhere from 1 to 4 times in your lifetime, right? And so I think that the technology will bring that immersive nature in. I think, you know, frankly, I think Jesse, to your point, it's going to be in a way for people to save time. I think it will also allow us to really, you know, think through. In my home buying journey, we had zeroed in on 2 or 3 neighborhoods. There could have been other places further outside Austin where I live now that we would have gone, but we really didn't want to make the 35-mile drive to know, is this what we really want? Now, we're super happy with what we got. We feel very fortunate, but, you know, it does open up even more you know, what is an urban, ex-urban life look like? You know, do you want to go further out? You don't want to get in the car and drive 35 minutes to see a house you might not like, but right. you would be willing to make the commute 45, 60 minutes every day because that's the house you love. And I think those things will bring about a really interesting consumer experience and help the agents, I think, be able to even more so than now tell a story about, have you thought of, and then, you know, you kind of have the hanging, you know, that like that hanging conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that technology will bring that about in a way that, you know, today it's better than it was, but I think this will be the next big next step.
What do I do as an agent to prepare for the next big step? Like besides get an Oculus and start creating content, anything else I can do?
I think being familiar with the way that the content is, you know, so being, you know, I think obviously using an Oculus device, understanding it, I think the content will be produced by others. I don't think that we're going to be at a stage where the realtor takes a phone and shoots it and then it's ready for, you know, the metaverse person. Gotcha. I think it's going to be a little bit of the meeting of larger technology companies and firms that have the technology wherewithal to do that for the agent. I think it'll be then incumbent on the agent to understand how to guide the consumer through the experience. So they don't have to necessarily be a content producer today, because unless you're flying 360 degree drone videos in a house, right? That's probably about as close as you can get to doing this. But I think as we make investments as a platform to entice and encourage content providers to do more, they'll do that. And then I think it's incumbent on the realtor, Jesse, to understand, how do I guide the consumer through this process? Now, the next generation of consumers who are buying will be first generation understanding this technology. So I think there'll be a smaller gap, in other words, from technology. Like, you know, my folks are in their 70s, God bless them. You know, they're not going to understand this. I don't put the headset on. My in-laws are in their 70s. Same thing. Until they put the headset on, they couldn't imagine what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think that's going to necessarily be that next generation of buyers that are going to heavily use a virtual reality experience. I think it'll be first, you know, we call them mobile natives, you know, probably virtual reality natives that understand what the experience is. And then it's up to the agent to really just, like always, understand the property. What do you want to tell me about the property? We're just doing it in a different arena, for lack of a better word.
But I do think, like you said, you know, you're not going to see real estate agents, you know, with a collection of Oculus headsets, especially at like $300 or $400 a pop, but you'll see a brokerage with maybe two or three, and you can sit down with a client at a buyer consultation and show them five or six properties through the Oculus, and then have them and then say, okay, you know what? I want to see this one and this one in person. And like I bought my house in Michigan, my first house in Michigan, sight unseen through FaceTime because I was in another state. And you know, this has been happening a lot more now through the pandemic. It's definitely been happening a lot more. And I think that, you know, it's just like any piece of technology, real estate agents are going to be slow to adapt. And like you said, we're going to have to pay a really close attention to the consumer and build off of that. Just like you said, you know, this is how Facebook builds out their platform. Okay, we see a lot of people doing long form video. That's where stories came from. So I think we're going to have to really pay extra close attention to what our consumers are doing and pick up the pace a little bit, because we lag behind.
Yeah, there's a lag, but I also think too, you've got a whole new generation of first buyers, consumers, you know, and people getting into the space to actually be agents and brokers. So I do think you're right. Traditionally, that's the case, but you know, we don't know. I mean, if everybody is being raised on this technology, then the floor is kind of very, very even at that point. We don't have these massive differences between somebody who really, you know, mobile was a game changer, and you could definitely understand, to your point, Nick, same, very similar. We were coming from out of state, and our agent was able to shoot video of this house, and within 48 hours, my wife and daughter were on a plane, bought it from the owner who was also an agent. So okay. The power of understanding how to tell that story was really important. You know, it was a video walkthrough that was, you know, just done kind of innocuously. Home was going to be put up for sale. And then, you know, within 48 hours, we we agreed on terms. So, but both agents knew how to tell that story through mobile. I think that was a gap. I think this is probably a little bit less of a gap, only because if we see the next generation of consumer and broker agent using this and it becomes ubiquitous really quickly, I think hopefully we'll see, we won't see those gaps. Because there are, I mean, you know, for all the conferences that I've attended over the last 5 or 6 years, I think decoding mobile has been the biggest thing I've been trying to tell agents they need to do.
So that leads me to my question. You know, what do agents really need to be paying attention to right now? Like the Oculus, this is still a rather new thing. You know, you're not going to have this rapid adoption of something that costs $300 or $400, especially in the real estate industry. We know agents like to hold on to our money. So what do we need to be paying close attention to? Is it, I mean, obviously it's mobile. Is it video? You know, what is something that we really need to be hyper-focused on?
Both of those things that you just called out. I mean, again, you know, the most powerful piece of technology ever devised by human beings is the mobile phone, because it's the most personal piece. The person closest to you, spouse, child, father, mother, whatever, you know, none of us have the same phones. You know, none of us have this exact same interest, you know, open each, if we all put our phones, 10 of us, if we were sitting around a dinner table, we all opened up and looked at like, what are your apps? What are the things you use the most? It would be 10 different versions. Exponentially, let's go a couple billion, right? We have billions of people using the phone to all the different needs and degrees. So I think understanding that the consumer is still on their phone more than ever. We saw time spent on phones go up during the pandemic by 1 hour per day. I think there were a lot of us who thought maybe this would be a little bit of an evening out, that you would have more desktop time spent because we were working from home. If anything, we saw that not being the case. Mobile devices continued their growth, time spent. So that technology is still emerging. It is not dead in any way, shape, or form, and will continue to be extremely important. I think, Nick, to your second point, video is so important. We see it time and again, just in the metrics of efficiency and performance on ad spend across our platform, not just real estate. This is across the universal, you know, advertiser base on Facebook and Instagram. You know, using video drives better performance. Consumers want video. And if we think about other competitive platforms that are video only and emerging in the space, it just doubles down on the fact that video is where it's at. You know, stories becomes ubiquitous and grows at a rate that was just astronomical, because it's for the most part a video or a moving picture experience, right? It's not just one static image. I still think content providers need to do a better job of shooting video for listings that fit a consumer's journey, where they want snippets, they want a fast introduction, and then they want the longer movie trailer to take their time and to do what we call lean back. So if we think about movie trailers, right, you know, we have a 10-second ad for a movie coming out, but then we go to the trailer to have a longer video experience. I think the longer video experience is better than what the short video experience is so far. And consumers move fast, they scroll fast, they swipe, they scroll extremely fast. So thumb stopping creative, especially video creative, is a necessity. And it's something we've been trying to work on, I think, for the better part of, you know, the last 3 years. Really, how can we get the industry to a better place? I think it's a little bit harder because, again, you have to have companies that really help to produce the content. That's a key. You know, and there are many in the space who do it really well, but the agent themselves shooting video is probably not the greatest experience. So it really comes down to, you know, kind of like the augmentation of your listing presentation. Where does video fit in? And how does it look on mobile? Is it shot for mobile? Is it short form?
That's so helpful. Okay. I wrote down, because I want to say this slowly to all of the agents that we train and coach, two content providers and two agents, snippets, then the lean back, like the movie trailer example is so perfect, because that's exactly what I want to see. Like, get to it so I can find out if I'm interested or not. And then I want to dive in. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And then that's where you can also use your Facebook business page, right? You know, we talk a lot. I think there's a lot of conversation about, you know, and God, I've had this conversation probably thousands of times over the last 5 to 6 years at conferences of, you know, why do I use the Facebook business page? I only want to do my personal page. Your personal page is you as a person. That's not your business. They're not going to look for where your office is, your hours. You can't serve ads from your personal page. You can only do it on a business page. It's also an example of like, that's a great example, Jesse, of, you know, your ad can be the 10-second trailer, and then the longer form video can sit on your Facebook page. Shops and commerce are the are one of the big pillars that are that's evolving with our platform. So that movement's going to continue. So the more that we think about, and you can do it on your website too, by the way. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just more, look at tools that are provided to you. A Facebook business page is free. Why is it any different to put a 2.5-3 minute video on it? Put it there organically, use ads to drive people. Then use Messenger instead of SMS text, where it's like, well, whose phone number is that? You know, use a personal connection, right? When Nick sends me something on Messenger, I know it's him. I'm not going, okay, what's that area code? I think that's Nick. Oh, that's right.
Such
right?
A good point. Yeah.
You know, and that's another way of like, or if somebody likes the video on the business page, well, send them a direct message. Hey, I noticed you liked my video. Is there anything I can question I can answer? Or you start conversations. I think there's, you know, the paid side, which, you know, we need to get agents to do better. But I think once you do really good paid, there's still that opportunity organically to have conversations with consumers. And the paid often gets, you know, kind of like thrown away to the wolves. It's like, well, hey, another good example, you know, if coming out of the pandemic, if Main Street has changed, businesses are opening, those are probably long form videos. That's not going to get a lot of attention in a feed environment or stories, but you can click to that. And again, have that more immersive, you know, hey, I'm out in, you know, downtown, you know, Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. I don't even know if Franklin Lakes has a downtown.
What made you think of Franklin Lakes?
Because my dad used to work there for
IBM. Oh, really? I went to high school in Franklin Lakes.
For some reason, I was like, you know,
that's so funny.
Or, you know, Wyckoff or, you know, any of those.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Now you're speaking my language.
Exactly. Ramsey, Allendale, you know, all these.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Oh, I'm going. We got the Jersey thing going now. But my point being is, you know, you can shoot amazing content that's very relevant. And that is where you shine. You know, so much of, I think the last thing I'll say on this topic is from a content perspective, what do you want the consumer to take away from the journey? You know, yes, consumers want to see homes. Empirically, homes do better as ads than agent headshots and whatnot. But again, we give you a organic platform where you can go tell those deeper stories. And I do think that that's often a missed opportunity by agents to, you're in your community, you know what's going on, tell the story. And especially coming out of the pandemic, people want more of those local connections. They really want to support local businesses, and agents are local businesses.
100%.
What we do is really, really interesting too. Like if you just tell your story as a realtor and what you're doing, people think that is interesting. It really is. I love stories for that reason only. Who doesn't want to talk about themselves?
Well, that's what social media is for, stories. Create a story. And Sky, you had a great point where, you know, listen, whether it's a paid ad or whether it's organic, someone likes it, someone comments, they cared enough to stop their thumb from scrolling to do something, to make some sort of action. So even if it's just a like and you're advertising a home, hey, how are you? I'm Nick. I'm the listing agent on 123 Main Street. You liked the video. I just wanted to reach out and say thank you for doing that. And don't even make it sales. Just say thank you, you know, and then lead into a conversation that way.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's a lot of this stuff is basic. I think people get hung up on the zeitgeist of what is happening today. You know, we started our conversation with Meta, and I think it's the right place because of the direction of the company. But what I would say is, you know, you don't have to wait for Oculus to become the next big thing. You don't have to wait for the metaverse to become the next, you know, the next huge platform. I mean, you know, look, we've got, you know, 231 million people on our platform, Facebook alone in the US every month, 210 million on Instagram. I mean, just for the audience to understand that, that is double the audience of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if I could give everyone a free ad in the Super Bowl in their local community, most people would be like, please, yes, sign me up for that. Give me more of that, right?
That's so good. That is, you're great at these examples. Awesome, really.
But it's just one of those things we don't think about it because it's ubiquitous. I mean, I always tell agents too, I said, you know, do the Starbucks test. Don't creep people out, but just kind of, you know, when you get your coffee and they call you up or you walk around, you know, what are people doing on their phones? They're usually on, you know, one of three to four platforms, and ours are two, if not three, of the biggest.
Every time you see someone waiting for their coffee, they're scrolling through Instagram.
And it's another opportunity to just get in front of them. And, you know, paid advertising, why I think the thing I also tell agents is like, look, it's great to build an organic community, but, you know, approximately 3% of your organic content is seen by your follower base. It's similar to, you know, why do you put a billboard up on the most traffic street in your neighborhood with, you know, why do you send direct mail? It's to break out and to meet new consumers. I think oftentimes I have a follower base of this. It's like, well, that's great. That is important. Don't get me wrong, but what if we could hit double or triple that by paid advertising and expand that reach and that connection to consumers and staying top of mind? Those are the important nuances that I think folks miss oftentimes. And I think we're trying to get better, frankly, at telling that story so that they understand why it's important.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Scott, it's been awesome. We could talk.
It has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we could talk for hours. We could talk for hours.
No, well, next time you're here down in the great state of Texas, you know, you got Jesse. I mean, we meet up halfway, I don't know, in Waco, and we just, you know, do a live podcast for, you know, some bar somewhere and have a conversation.
You can buy us some beers. Thank you.
We could do that. We could do that for sure. Well, listen, everybody, thank you for listening. If you loved what you heard, hit the subscribe button, share it, leave a review. You know, we're the little podcast that could, and everything that you help us do makes us bigger and better. Just like on Facebook, give it a like. Just give it a like. You can also go to commanderconsulting.com if you want to look into some Facebook consulting that we can help you with as well. Scott Shapiro, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. You're awesome. Hope to see you soon, sir.
See you soon. Happy New Year to everybody. Be safe through the holiday season.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you next time.